Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Today's guest is Stacey Braga, a sales copywriter and educator for coaches who want to scale and launch with ease. She blends her expertise in education and marketing to the online space so you can get more conversions, more clients, and more confidence. When she's not working, she loves reading, snuggling with her cat, and crafting. Stacey, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Please share more with our audience about you and what you do.
So I am a copywriter, which when people first hear that, they ask me if I copyright books. That is not what I do. So what I actually do is help people sell their products and their offers online. And I do that through emails and through sales pages and sometimes through websites.
Interesting. And so out of those, do you have a favorite or do you tend to kind of like all of them equally?
I love emails and sales pages. I think it's fun to have a really big project when you're trying to sell an offer for the first time. It feels like a really big challenge. And then as you move through it, it feels like you're putting all the puzzle pieces together and it all starts to make sense. So I think for me, sales pages and then leading into the emails are my favorite.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned too, which I shared in your bio, that you focus a lot on helping clients get more conversions and then also more clients themselves. So could you talk more about that, about how your process might help them to get those results and also what types of conversions people might look for?
Yeah. So a lot of what I do with clients is thinking about their clients and, you know, where are their clients and what are they struggling with? And then creating value for those people. So for example, if you are selling mindset coaching, you might think about, okay, what are the people that I want to work with? What are they struggling with? And then through your emails, you might give them some tips for mindset struggles that they're working through. And then you'll keep on giving them tips. And so they'll be like, wow, this person's really great. They've really helped me out. And then from there, you can really start to throw in your offer and say, okay, like, you know, if you've enjoyed all of these things that we've been talking about for the past 2-3 weeks, here's something that is going to help you elevate even more. And that's where you can lead into selling your offer or your products. It does get a little bit different if you're selling physical products. You might switch up your strategy a little bit. But basically what you're looking for is for, when I say conversions, it's for people to interact with you. So clicking links on your website, clicking links in your email, signing up for a free coupon or a free resource.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you mentioned email specifically, because I feel like email is one of my favorite ways to communicate with potential clients or even current clients. And so with the work that you do, is it through like monthly newsletters that you write for your clients, or is it more so like a nurture sequence that you help them set up?
So I do both. For the most part, I do launches. So when somebody has a product that they want to sell, I will help them set up those emails so that they can sell the product. But I also offer a VIP day. So if you are trying to set up just like a one-time sequence, we can get that done in a day. So that is more if you say want to set up something like a welcome sequence. So you have your email list and maybe on your website, you have something that people can download. Or if you're a product-based business, you might say a 10% off coupon, right? And it creates this trust because people are then giving you their email address. And, you know, for me, I don't give my email address to just anybody. and so they get on your email list and you can start building that relationship with them.
And I imagine that the sequences might vary depending on what the business is and what they're selling, but I just like love all things email sequences and just kind of going through and strategizing them. And so what would you recommend to a business owner who might be listening, who's like, I really need to set up an automation series or a nurture sequence? What would you recommend they do in terms of like content and cadence and really figuring out what they should do with it?
So if you have no automations, what I would recommend is starting with your welcome sequence. So I like to think about your welcome sequence. If somebody is coming into your home or your storefront, how would you welcome them, right? So would you offer them a beverage? Like, how do you want them to feel? And really think about that. And then use your welcome sequence to establish the relationship. And so what I recommend to do in a welcome sequence is if they downloaded a resource or a coupon, send them that first, right? Deliver on your promise. But then use your welcome sequence so that they can get to know you. So you can talk about your brand story and how you started your business and why you started your business. You can use another email to give them some more perspective shifts. So something to think about differently about your industry, another free resource you have, right? So just giving them this feeling of like, oh, I'm so glad I'm here, because there's so much good stuff. And then you can move into nurturing them. You can share client stories of what has been successful, or if you have a product, testimonials about, you know, how much people have loved this last product. And then you can move into selling. In terms of cadence, it depends. I mean, if you are super busy, emailing once a week is great, right? It keeps you top of mind. People remember that you exist. and it creates a positive relationship with your reader. If you have the capacity or the budget to email 3-4 times a week, that's great too. The more that you email, the more top of mind you are in somebody's inbox.
Yeah. And when people have a nurture sequence, they might get to the point where they feel like it might need a refresh. How do you know when people feel like, or how do people know when it's time to update their sequence or their automation series, whatever it might be? And then how do they also know what new content to put in there once they decide it's time to update?
Ooh, good question. So I would say it really depends on your ideal client and your audience, right? So what are they struggling with? So if you say you put up a freebie and you only get a handful of downloads, but you're promoting it on social media every day, maybe it's time to change up that freebie, right? So you can try something else, maybe change the messaging and really think about what is going to be valuable for the people that you want to download this. In terms of your welcome sequence, I think that probably the biggest mistake that I see is people will write their welcome sequence because they just want to get it done. and they're like, oh, somebody said I need this, so like, let me do it. But you want to think about the big picture. So somebody downloads something and then they go through this sequence, but where are they going next? So what is your goal for that person? Do you want them to buy maybe like a low ticket offer that you have? And so if you want them to buy a specific low ticket offer, you might make your freebie related to that offer and then make your welcome sequence related to that offer. And so when the reader gets to that point, they're like, oh, okay, like it's a cohesive journey, right? It all makes sense. It all fits together. And so that's kind of where I see people struggling is they wrote their welcome sequence and then they've changed their offers, but then they don't update it to reflect what they actually are serving people with.
Yeah, that's a good point too. If something becomes outdated or they're just not doing it anymore, it can definitely lead to confusion and probably distrust on the recipient's end.
Yeah, that's very true. Right. And the way you build trust is by being consistent. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you're saying the same things all of the time. You're just repeating yourself. And I'm like, I used to teach second grade, so I feel like I'm used to it. Just saying the same things over and over again. But the thing is, like when you are selling something, people need to see it multiple times. They're not going to be convinced on the first time. And so you really do need to create I like to call it spiraling, right? So like you say the same things over, but every time you say it, you might switch a little part of it and give a little bit of a different perspective or a little bit of a different angle. And so as people come in contact with your copy and your emails and your sales pages and your websites, they're building up a picture in their brain of what it's like to work with you, who you are as a brand. And that picture, if the messages are conflicting, that's confusing for people. And so you really want to create this cohesive journey.
Absolutely. And I just love the topics of emails. I'm like, oh, I have so many questions I want to ask her. But with that, do you take a look into your clients' analytics with their emails, if that may give you an inside look into what you could change or what they should change within their sequence and things like that?
Oh yeah, I'm a data nerd. I love looking into all of that stuff. I know it's overwhelming for some people. So if I were to just look at like a few things, I would look at open rates. And if your average industry average is 15 to 20%. So if your open rates are higher than that, yay, amazing. If they're lower than that, I would test out different subject lines. Subject lines are hard. Everyone's like, how do you make a great subject line? I'm like, I don't know. No. Some tips I have for good subject lines are you want to make it eye-catching, right? So using emojis is a great way to do it. And you want to pique people's curiosity. So what is something that you can put in the subject line that is not going to give the whole picture, but once somebody opens the email, they will get the rest of the answer that they're looking for. So it could be something like, you know, why you're still experiencing insomnia, right? And then inside, you can give a bunch of tips for how to remedy that.
Yeah, so, I like that idea of giving like that sneak peek almost.
Yeah, and so that I would look at open rates. And then from there, I would look at conversion rates. So whether or not people are clicking inside your email. And if your conversion rates are generally 1% to 2%, and so I feel like people want them to be like super high. So if they're at 1% to 2%, if they're lower than that, if you're getting zero, then it's time to think about what is actually in the email, and how you can really nurture people a little bit more.
Yeah. And with that, do you recommend people might include more links or do you recommend they take out the copy? And I feel like that's all kind of like very subjective because it likely depends on the business and what they do. But that's definitely one thing I hear a lot is how do I get more people to click what's in my email? And do you have any recommendations for that?
Yeah, I think that it's almost like if you take like the big picture of like where you want people to go, each email is a tiny little step. And so where you want to start is awareness. And it's not about like, this is where you hear problem aware, right? But it's not about making people feel bad about their problems. It's about validating them and telling them that, you know, what's going on with you is normal and you're not the only one. And my favorite way to do that is through stories. So I really like to tell stories about myself and my own business, tell stories about my clients, how they change things. And that makes people feel less alone when you talk about you're not the only person who's struggling with this. Like I am also struggling with this, or I struggled with it and now I know how to fix it. And then you write in a different email, you might talk about the transformation of what is going to happen with your offer. And I hear transformation getting thrown out a lot, right? And it's hard. It's like you have to go deeper than you think. And it's really like asking questions like, okay, after this person goes through my offer, what are they going to be thinking? What are they going to be doing? What is their day-to-day going to look like? And, you know, not just like about their business, but also how does it impact their life, right? Like, are they going to have time to spend with their kids? Are they going to be able to take an extra vacation every year? Are they, you know, like, are they going to be able to take the weekends off?
Yeah. And
that's the things that people really want. And so that's what you need to play into, like in your emails of, yes, I'm going to help you, you know, with this specific goal, but it's also going to open up so much more for you.
Yeah, people want to feel like they have something to resonate with, but they're like, this person is in my exact situation or was in my exact situation that I'm currently in. I want to be where they are now. And so having that relatability factor in marketing, I think, is huge.
Yeah, and it also helps build relationships and trust, right? People, if you're showing up in your emails and being vulnerable and sharing what you've learned, then people see like, okay, like I don't I right, it builds trust. Like you're not like, oh, this person's lying to me. Like why would you lie about
Exactly. And going back to the subject line piece, because I think that is definitely huge for helping to increase open rates. I've seen that there's like a quite a few like headline analyzers, which can be used for like blog posts or emails that people can use. Have you used any personally and have found success with them? And if so, which ones would you recommend?
Ooh, I don't use them for subject lines, but I do use them for websites and sales pages. So it is helpful because sometimes the headline is such an important part. And I've used CoScheduler and
Yep,
there's another
that's a good
one.
one. And then I think there might be one. I don't know if it's like some type of association or something that might have one, but a co-schedule is definitely a good one.
And then Advanced Marketing Institute has one
That's
too.
what I was thinking of. Yep, I was like, I knew it was some type of association or institute.
I know. And sometimes I get so into it, I will like put them into both. And I'll be like, how can I get a good score on both of them?
Yeah, seriously, it becomes like a little game that you can play.
Yeah. So for headlines, using questions is really effective. Or so starting with, do you want blank, blank, blank? Or even saying like how to get the transformation that people want. And then for emails, good subject lines could be like 5 reasons why this, right? Something that piques curiosity. And I would not put like, don't put the meat of the email in the subject line. Like you want to give people a reason to open it. So if you are saying like exactly what's in it, then maybe reconsider and thinking about like, okay, like how can I make this a hook, right?
Yeah, I think that's great perspective. And going along with that, what would you recommend for the preview text of an email? Because I feel like that's something many people overlook or don't always prioritize, but that can be a great strategy too.
Yeah, that's true. And that's another thing that can affect your open rates. And so, if you don't know, the preview text is the little text that shows up after your subject line. And if you don't put anything there, it'll just go into the beginning of your email, which is usually like, hi, blank, right? Like, hi, name. So, you can be playful with it, you can have fun with it. Something that I do, like if it's during a launch, I might put like a interesting subject line, but then the preview, I'll say pre-sale ends on Sunday. So it's like, then there's a little bit of urgency, like, oh, let me, like, even though the name of the program isn't in the subject line, like I still know that there's a pre-sale and it's going to end. So let me check out what the program is and click in the email.
Yeah, that's smart. And with that, I mean, I know that you work with a lot of different coaches with your clients. Do you notice that like certain types of emails or certain content within the emails or even like landing pages and stuff like that as well tend to work best just from what you've seen across the industry?
I think in terms of like open rates, something that is like a little bit surprising works better, especially like if you don't do it too often, right? And you like throw out something that you wouldn't normally put out. So like I just saw one that was like, holy cow, and it was the cow emoji. But the person was celebrating an accomplishment that they had in their business. But I was super curious because I was like, oh, this is a big deal because, you know,
Yeah.
she doesn't usually put stuff like this. So like, let me see what she's holy cowing about. So, you know, just like having fun and being a little bit playful, I think is really good. Like one that worked really well for me a few weeks ago was I put like 8:58 p.m., my apartment, right? And usually my subject lines don't look like that. So I think it got a lot of clicks because people were like, oh, what's going on at 8:58 p.m.?
Yeah, it's all about that intrigue, which I feel like works well in any type of marketing. It's just getting people interested and wondering what it could possibly be that you have to say.
Yep, exactly. Getting the curiosity factor in.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that you work mostly with coaches, so I'm assuming that a lot of the emails that you send on their behalf are coming from the coach themselves. But do you have any recommendations for maybe bigger companies? Like, this is something I see some organizations wondering, is they're like, should we sign the email as one person in the company? Like, should we not sign it as a person? I feel like that's a common thing that people kind of always are thinking about and wondering what's best to do.
That's interesting. That's an interesting question. I think it depends, and that's something that if you are a big company with a marketing department, it makes sense to test. What I would suggest, and I've done for some clients with products, is if you are talking about your brand story or why you founded the company or anything like that, have it come from the CEO. And then everything else, maybe have it come from, somebody in marketing or thinking about like what that from line is, who's it from. But then using the emails like from the founder, from the CEO strategically, either to like send a special message or give a special gift. But they don't all have to be from the CEO, especially like if it is a large company.
Yeah, I think that's smart to kind of do it on like a case-by-case basis. And like you said, even test to see if coming from one person might garner more results than coming from another person.
Yeah, and like for me, my subject line is Stacy because it's just me. And I think that people are like, okay, like Stacy's in my inbox, but I definitely have had people with just their first name. And like I have Shannons and I have multiple Shannons that I subscribe to. And I'm like, wait, which Shannon is that? So there's pros and cons, and you just have to figure out what works best for your audience.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too, is that it could definitely lead to confusion. I personally like to do either my first name and last name or just my first name, Ashley, and do like a break and then put like Dash of Social for my marketing agency or Massachusetts Business Network. And I think it's kind of nice to tie the name to the organization name in that aspect.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially like if you have a company name, like you want to build that brand awareness, and the more people see it, the better it'll be, right?
Absolutely. And so now we've talked a lot about a ton of different marketing expertise in terms of copywriting specifically, which I love, but I'd love to also be able to highlight what you've done in your business, what inspired you to start it, and all of that fun stuff. And so I'd first like to ask you, Stacey, how did you even get experience with copywriting to begin with?
Ooh, great question. So I was a teacher and I've always really loved writing. It's always been like a nice like healing thing for me. And I've been to grad school so many times. So I've had a lot of practice. And so I quit teaching May of last year, and I was very much had no plan and didn't know what I was going to do. And so I was scrolling Instagram and saw an ad for a course that said copywriting is a great career for former teachers. And I was like, okay, let me check
Intrigued
this out.
instantly.
See, that was good marketing. They got me. So I bought that course and I took it and I was like, this is really interesting. And I think that, before I had this view of marketing, like, oh, people are just trying to make money. And taking the course, I was like, oh, like I can really help people. Like making an impact was such a big part of being a teacher.
Right.
But I realized like, oh, I can help small businesses like make a lot of money. And like, it's not just like there's more to marketing than like working for big corporations. And so I took that course and then I hired a copy coach and then I hired another coach and here I am. I think it took me a little while to figure out, like, you asked me at the beginning, like, what do you love to do? And at the beginning, it was like blog writing and websites and all of the things. But I've really kind of found my niche in like what I really enjoy and launching new products.
Yeah, and that's a lot of fun too. And I love that you got that targeted ad. Like you said, marketing at its finest to get that targeted ad to kind of guide you in the new direction that you're in. And I also like that you mentioned that marketing and copywriting does make a big impact. Like one of my favorite phrases is selling is serving, which is so true. Like when you're selling something, like you mentioned, you're not just doing it to make money, but what you're selling is positively benefiting and impacting someone's life in some way.
It's so true. Yeah. And, you know, people are always like, if you're doing people a disservice, if you have something that's going to help them and then you don't tell them about it.
Yes, exactly right. And so with that, when you started your business and took the course and you hired two coaches, how did you end up getting clients from there? Like, I'd love to hear more about, because I think it's so helpful for people who are in your position, who are kind of going off on their own for the first time. How were you able to grow your clientele? And then also know that you like to work in coaches, really having that niche.
Yeah, I think that that is the hardest thing about business, because when I joined the online space, there was a lot of, you know, make six figures in 6 months or all of this stuff. So when I got to 6 months and I'm not making six figures, I was like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm showing up every day, I'm doing the work. And so I think like what's important to remember in getting clients is that like you are building a foundation with every time you show up, with every email that you send, with every social media post that you make, every networking event that you go to. It's all building a base, and you just have to keep building it to build your client base. And so for me, my clients come from a mix of referrals, and then social media is kind of my two big things. I've dabbled a little bit in networking, but I'm so introverted. I'm like, I don't like going outside.
I can relate. I'm definitely an introvert too. And I feel like entrepreneurship almost forces you to be extroverted in a sense. Like I'm definitely a lot more comfortable with speaking to people I've never met before than I was when I started my business, but I can totally relate. I'm definitely an introvert.
No, it's hard. And then you had asked about coaches. And I think for me, coming from an education background and having an educational leadership degree, I love working with coaches because I can give a little bit of a different perspective, especially if they have courses and all of that stuff. Like, I have that educational design background. So when I'm going through their course to like write their sales page, I can say, oh, like, do you want some suggestions on like XYZ? Because because I love it and I like teaching and learning, and I'll help you make your course better.
Absolutely. And I think when you feel passionate about what you do and the people that you work with, then you end up having that much more success within your business. Just like yourself, you feel really passionate about working with coaches because of the fact that you've been an educator for several years now. And so being able to have that cross section, I think, is amazing.
Yeah, it's so true. And just like I was talking to somebody earlier about like how launching a new offer is like, it stresses a lot of people out. It's really hard. It's a lot of work. People hate it. But it's like, how do we shift that so that it's actually fun? Because if you show up in a way that's fun, people are going to want to work with you because you're super personable and you're showing up with all of this energy. And it changes the game a little bit if you're, instead of showing up as like, I have to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that I just thought about as we were talking about, I mean, to kind of go back to your expertise with copywriting and emails, but I mean, when your episode releases, for those who are listening right now, it will be November when it releases. And so that comes right at the time of the major shopping holidays of the year, with Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And so email tends to be a huge thing that people will be focusing on during that time of year. And so do you have any recommendations for that on what people can follow?
Yes, I would say start before November.
Yes.
Start planning before November. I would say if you want to do like a big Black Friday thing, you can start planning it in September to be very on top of things, and so that you don't feel that stress. If you are launching in November, I would say make sure to lead with value. So don't just start selling your Black Friday sale. Spend, you know, 2-3 weeks talking about, right, all of the things we talked about before, the storytelling, the social proof, the building value, giving them small wins, and then go into your Black Friday sale.
Yeah. And if people are kind of struggling with what they should talk about, like I think they mentioned having like leading with value and not just going right into selling, do you recommend kind of perhaps focusing on some of the things that people might include in a sequence, like client or customer success stories or tips or anything like that?
Yeah, and I would say make it related to whatever you're selling. So, you know, if it's an offer you've already sold or a product you've already sold, you can include testimonials. And I would say if you're including testimonials, also include a story behind them, because sometimes people just scroll through. But if you get them hooked on a story, they'll pay more attention to the testimonial. So yeah, just and using that transformation too. So really thinking about what people are going to get out of it.
Love that. And now going back to your entrepreneurial experience and all that you've done with your copywriting business, I'd love to hear what you recommend for people who might be in a similar position to what you were in when you were just ready to kind of leave teaching behind and become a full-time entrepreneur. Like, what was that like? And do you have any tips for people who are looking to do the same?
It was terrifying. I think if you are trying to do that, for me, I had savings. I basically, like, my plan was to buy a house, and I basically took my buy a house money and invested it in my business. So I would say definitely give yourself some wiggle room and think of a plan that is going to work for you, based on, you know, your budget and your lifestyle. And if that means like working part-time and then shifting into entrepreneurship, later in a full-time capacity, because it's really stressful. And I think that when you are trying to sign clients and you are feeling very stressed about money, your clients can feel that, and you you don't show up in your best possible way. And so giving yourself enough space so that you can explore and have fun and be creative, I think is my best advice for business. And I know that's really hard if you're trying to balance a 9-to-5 and also starting your business. But it's also really hard to just like quit your 9-to-5 and then be like, let me figure out what I'm doing. Like, I don't actually recommend that.
Yeah, it can definitely be hard. And I love your suggestion of having a part-time job if need be, if you just kind of want to have that more steady, consistent income, and using that to then, like you did, you took your house fund and put it into your business, using that money to fuel your passion and then being able to establish that foundation and help to grow.
Yeah, nobody tells you how much money it costs to start a business.
I know. Thankfully, I feel like we're a little bit more fortunate than product-based companies, since they have all that inventory and whatnot, but it is definitely an investment in a lot of things.
And like your own personal learning. I think that's the other thing about like my other piece of advice would just be like to give yourself a lot of grace, because especially if you have never been an entrepreneur or don't know people who are entrepreneurs like me, I had no idea what I was doing. And there's a lot of mindset work that needs to go into it, and a lot of like forgiving yourself for messing up, and just a lot of trying new things constantly and putting yourself out of your comfort zone constantly. And it's hard to prepare for that. So just giving yourself a lot of grace.
Yeah, I think that's smart, because especially, I mean, you mentioned this point earlier where people see things on social media where they're saying, where people are saying make six figures in six months, and it's not very sustainable or even realistic. And so people can get very caught up in that, where they feel like they need to be at a certain point because someone else is at that point. And so I just love that reminder of just giving yourself grace and not comparing your journey to someone else's.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because a lot of the people making, you know, six figures in 6 months, they've already built that business foundation. So it's like, if you've already been in the game for 3, 4, or 5 years, then of course it's going to be much easier for you to make six figures in 6 months than somebody who doesn't have any relationships in the industry, like hasn't shown up yet. So you have to take the marketing with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Yes, I fully agree with that. And now to think about a fun question. When you're going out to shop locally, what are your favorite places to support?
So I live in a very nice neighborhood called Inman Square in Cambridge, and there are a lot of really cute neighborhood shops, but my favorite is Albertine Press. They have all card things, like that's where I buy all my cards, and a little craft things, and they're just adorable, and they make really great gift boxes.
Ooh, good to know. I always love little trinkets like that, especially cards, like, because everyone loves snail
know.
mail. Stacey, this has been such an awesome episode, and I've really enjoyed having the opportunity to have you share all of your expertise with everything involving copywriting. And now I'd love if you could share where listeners can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Yes, so you can find my website at stacybragacopy.com. I also hang out on Instagram for a lot of my time, so you can DM me there, stacybragacopy. And then I'm also on LinkedIn, but not as much as Instagram.
Perfect. I will link to those in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for coming on today's show.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.